no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This week on the Relic Radio Show, our hour of radio drama begins with suspense. We'll hear A Shroud for Sarah from October 25th, 1945. After that, it's Bold Venture and A 12-Year Promise, their story from July 23rd, 1951.
Now, the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California presents... Suspense!
Tonight, Roma Wines bring you A Shroud for Sarah, starring Miss Lucille Ball, soon to be seen in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Technicolor musical, Ziegfeld Follies.
Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those excellent California wines that can add so much pleasantness to the way you live, to your happiness and entertaining guests. To your enjoyment of everyday meals. Yes, right now a glass full would be very pleasant as Roma Wines bring you Miss Lucille Ball in a remarkable tale of suspense.
Oh, Sarah? Sarah?
Come in, George. How did it go, darling? George, you're trembling. Something went wrong.
No, nothing went wrong.
You got it, then?
Yeah, I got it. Stuffed in all my pockets. Here, I'll dump it on the bed. Here you are, Sarah. $17,000.
$17,000? It's more than we expected.
Yeah.
George, you're acting queerly. Did everything work out all right?
Sure. Sure it did. It was duck soup, just like old times, Sarah. Remember how every job clicked? Sure fire when we used to plan them together.
George.
Yeah?
You're lying, aren't you?
Sarah, you really love me, don't you?
Do you have to ask? Would I have come back otherwise?
10 years is a long time. I thought you'd be changed. I never thought you'd come back like this out of nowhere. I don't even know what you've been doing, where you've been living, what name you're using. You haven't told me a thing about yourself.
I will, George. I will, as soon as we get out of this apartment. As soon as we're really together, darling.
That's the way you want it, isn't it, Sarah?
Of course. Why do you think I never got a divorce? I didn't, you know. I didn't even consider it.
No, you didn't. And you could have. You certainly had a right with me up for 5 years on a felony. I'm glad you waited, Sarah. You won't regret it.
I'm sure I won't, George. But let's not talk about that now. We have a train to make.
You know, Sarah, you're as good to look at as you were 10 years ago.
Oh, you're just making talk, George, and you haven't answered my question. I want to know what went wrong.
I'd given up hope, Sarah. I didn't expect to see you again.
But I came back.
I've done 2 stretches, Sarah, 9 years in jail out of 10. I wouldn't have pulled another job if you hadn't shown up. You won't go away again, will you?
Only with you, George.
Sarah, the scent of your hair. I used to dream of it. Those long nights in jail. Now it's real. Holding you like this, with your hair on my face.
George, you're hurting me. Your arms.
I'm sorry. It's just that I'm so afraid it isn't true having you again. I want to hold you tight forever.
George, what happened? What went wrong?
Sarah, I had to kill a man. Well, haven't you got anything to say?
Only the obvious. It's murder, then. That changes my plans.
Your plans?
My plans for us.
You're going to stick with me, aren't you?
Of course. I didn't come back after 10 years, only to run right out again. And we must think this out carefully. Are you sure you left no clues?
Only the gun. I wiped it off clean and left it there. It's a gun I picked up years ago. No way to tack it on me.
Fingerprints?
Gloves.
Well, then there's nothing to worry about.
Only if they happen to pick me up on suspicion.
I see. Are they after you now, George?
Of course not. Nobody heard the shot. There was nobody in the building but that bald-headed bookkeeper. He hadn't gone home. Must have stayed to get his books in shape for the morning. My luck.
And you weren't followed or chased.
You don't think I'd have come here if they were after me?
I'm sorry, George. I know you wouldn't.
You're not sore at me, then? We can go ahead just as we planned. Our train leaves in an hour. We'll pick up the tickets at the station. Sarah, it's hard to believe in an hour we'll be on the way to Florida, you and I.
Yes, George.
Just the two of us. In the warm sun. It's a dream I've had for 10 years, in and out of jail. I figured it would always be a dream. You know, it's funny.
What's funny?
There's a bald-headed man lying dead over there at the finance company. He's finished. And we're just beginning. I never killed a man, Sarah. Never before.
You'll do all right from now on, George. You'll forget about that thing. I'll help you forget it.
Yeah.
But we've got to hurry now. Put your hat on. And I'll go over and pick up the tickets.
Yeah, well, I thought we'd go to the station together.
Well, silly, I've got to dress.
Yeah, well, the Sunset Limited leaves at 8 o'clock. There's only an hour.
I know. I'll dress and pack and meet you in 30 minutes at the train gate. Have you any money? Here, take some of this. I'll put the rest in the valise and bring it in a cab so it won't be found on you if anything happens.
Why didn't you come back before, Sarah? I didn't realize it till this minute. I've been like an orphan for 10 years. Kiss me.
Now, that's all, George. You've got to hurry now.
Yeah. Remember, the Sunset Limited at the gate.
I'll remember.
And don't forget to clean out the desk.
I'll take care of everything, George. Now, hurry. Hello? Police headquarters? A man was killed a few minutes ago at the Vanda Finance Company on Dexter Avenue. Please don't interrupt. If you go to the LaSalle station, you'll catch the murderer at the Sunset Limited train gate. His name is Monk, George Monk.
For Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you as star Miss Lucille Ball in A Shroud for Sarah by Emil C. Tepperman. Roma Wines' presentation tonight in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Between the acts of Suspense, this is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines. Saturday is Navy Day. On this day, all America gives honor to the returning veterans of the fleet. To these men, all America lifts its voice to say, well done. This weekend, too, millions of Americans will be entertaining family and friends. To them, here's a hospitality word from famed hostess Elsa Maxwell. My guests compliment me when I make delicious Roma California Sherry first call for dinner. It's the perfect appetizer before the meal, served cool. Yes, Miss Maxwell, Roma Sherry is most delightful later in the evening, too, when friends drop in, especially when served with tasty snacks. For glorious gold and amber, Roma Sherry is a happy, mellow wine with natural fragrance and cream-rich, nut-like taste. So good because Roma Sherry, like all Roma wines, is born of luscious grapes gathered at peak of flavor in California's choicest vineyards. Gently pressed, then unhurriedly, guided to delicious perfection by Roma's ancient winemaking skill. Bottled at Roma's own famed wineries. That's why all Roma wines are true wines, unvaryingly good always. Remember, because of uniformly fine quality at reasonable cost, more Americans enjoy Roma than any other wine. Insist on Roma, R-O-M-A, Roma wines.
And now, Roma Wines bring back to our Hollywood soundstage Lucille Ball as Sarah Martell in A Shroud for Sarah, a play well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Coming. I'm coming. Oh, I knew it was you, Sarah. Only you would ring so insistently when you know I'm handicapped by this infernal crutch.
Good evening, Peter. How's our next governor? Aren't you going to kiss me? I've been away 3 days.
Is it necessary, my dear?
Peter, are you going to let the neighbor see me standing out here with this valise? Kiss me, you idiot. You can stand it if I can.
Very well. Satisfied, my dear? Now that we've performed for the neighbors, shall we go in?
I see you've moved the radio again.
I moved it nearer the easy chair. This crutch makes it hard for me to get around. I hope you don't mind, my dear. I mean, it's being more convenient for me.
Is that the news? I want to hear it.
Police are seeking George Monk, an ex-convict who shot and killed a finance company bookkeeper and escaped with $17,000 in cash.
What do you want to turn that up for? It's nothing but a sordid murder.
Oh, shut up.
Shot without warning. But there's a mystery angle here which sets this case apart from the ordinary holdup. Police are seeking an unidentified woman who tipped them off a few minutes after the murder, naming George Monk, and telling them just where he could be picked up. Unfortunately, one of the officers sent to apprehend the murder was recognized by Monk, who made his escape in the crowded railroad station.
What's the matter, my dear? Why did you turn the radio off? You look as if you'd seen a ghost.
Leave me alone, Peter.
Well, well, what sort of villainy were you up to in Chicago?
Sarah, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going up to my room. I want to unpack. Good night, Peter.
A burglary in Chicago. A mysterious woman who tipped off the police.
Just a moment, Sarah.
I said good night, Peter.
$17,000.
Sarah, I want to know what's in that valise. Why are you hanging on to it like that?
Stay where you are, Peter. Don't come up these stairs.
What's wrong? Are you afraid to let me see what's in that valise?
No, no, I'm not afraid. Just don't come up any closer.
Well, well, that same little pistol of yours. Would you shoot me with it again, my dear?
If you come a step further.
Drop the gun. You're not going to shoot me now, just before election. You want to be the governor's lady, don't you?
Stand still, Peter.
I'm sorry, Sarah. I've got to know what's in there.
You take another step, I'll shoot.
You're a fool, Sarah. Clever and ruthless, yes, but nevertheless a fool. Look at all the terrible things you've done to satisfy your ambition. Even murder now. And it's all been a waste of time.
What do you mean?
Did you know that the results of the popular poll were published today?
Well?
It gives Stephen Archer a 15% edge over me. And not only that, but the incumbent governor, the man we're both trying to beat, ran ahead of the two of us in the poll.
You're not lying about that?
Of course not, my dear. How did you expect to beat Stephen Archer and his money? We're broke.
No, Peter, we're not broke.
Oh? You mean you have $17,000 in that bag?
I'm going to be the governor's wife, I tell you. There's nothing that could stop me, nothing.
I believe you, Sarah. Why, I believe you would even murder Archer if you had to. Let me have that valise.
You can't seem to understand, Peter. You're not going to open it.
Then shoot me, my dear. You do it so well. It comes so natural to you. Maybe you can shoot me in the other leg this time.
Oh, will you never stop throwing it up to me? That was an accident.
A very fortunate accident, wasn't it, Sarah? Just when I was ready to accept a commission in the army. You didn't want to be the wife of an army captain. Your ambition ran higher than that. You wanted to be the governor's lady. Now, Sarah, I'm going to see what you have there. And you're not going to do anything about it.
Get away from me, Peter!
No, Sarah, you're going to give them to me. First the gun, and now that black... Sarah, Sarah, don't! The stairs! Sarah.
Please go straight into the bedroom, Doctor. Peter fell again and hurt his leg in the same place.
Now, look here, Mrs. Martell. What's the use of keeping up this deception between ourselves? You know and I know that your husband didn't fall the last time. That was a bullet wound in his leg.
Dr. Varney, you promised never to mention that bullet wound.
And you promised to pay me, remember? $10,000. Where's the money?
Don't worry. I have it.
Oh, well, that's different. Where is it? I'll take it now.
Later. Please go in now and take care of Peter.
Did you shoot him again?
Of course not. That was an accident the last time. I was examining the pistol and it went off.
Oh, yes, of course. That's the story, Mrs. Martell. And for $10,000, I'll gladly subscribe to it. But I must have that money. I need it. I won't touch that leg till I get the money.
All right. I have it here.
Oh.
There. That's $10,000.
Hmm.
Now hurry in there and take care of Peter. Afterwards, I'll want to see you in here. There may be another matter that I'll want you to handle for me.
Yes, there's $10,000. Another matter?
You are also the physician for Stephen Archer, aren't you?
Yes.
You've been attending him every day during the campaign. I understand his heart needs attention.
Look here, Mrs. Martell. Stephen Archer's running against your husband for governor. I wonder when you originally called me in, did you know I was Archer's physician?
Could be.
Huh. Well, I'm sorry I can't discuss Archer with you.
Why not?
Why not? Why, the ethics of my profession.
The ethics of your profession? Please, Dr. Varney. If your fellow practitioners knew what I know about you, you wouldn't have any profession.
I won't listen to any more from you. I'll take care of that leg of your husband's, but more than that, no.
Oh, but I'm sure you'll change your mind, Doctor.
Whatever your proposition is, the answer is no.
Even if I were to offer $50,000?
$50,000?
There, now, I knew you'd be interested. Now run inside like a nice fellow and tend to Peter. I must go out for a few minutes, but please wait for me. There's an appointment I must keep. I won't be long.
Mrs. Martell?
Yes?
Right here. Good evening, Mrs. Martell. Park is rather a dark place to meet, isn't it?
I thought it would be best this way.
Especially if we're going to discuss the things you hinted at over the phone.
Mr. Archer, let's come to the point quickly. Do you want to win the election?
Frankly, yes, very much.
Would it be worth money to you? A great deal of money?
Just what is your proposition?
You're a wealthy man. Would $100,000 be too much to pay for the governorship?
$100,000? I've spent several times that much on the campaign already. But I don't see how you could deliver the election.
Listen to me closely, Mr. Archer.
Yeah?
I learned that in yesterday's poll figures, you ran 15% ahead of my husband.
That's quite true.
But neither you or Peter will win. You're both taking strength from each other, and the governor will be reelected.
So your solution is for Peter Martell to withdraw at the price of $100,000.
Exactly. If one of you withdraws, the other will surely win.
That's absolutely true. But I happen to know that Peter Martell would never make such a deal.
No, he wouldn't, the fool. But for $100,000, I will put him out of the race.
You?
Would you believe it if I told you I hated that man's very shadow?
I have heard rumors here and there.
I want to leave him. I want to be rid of him forever. Where could I go without money? What could I do? He's so disgustingly honest that we're always broke. He couldn't even pay me enough alimony. I've got to think for myself.
I begin to see...
Now, suppose that tomorrow, 2 days before the election, I were to file suit for divorce. I could leave for Reno tonight. It would be in every newspaper tomorrow.
Would certainly eliminate your husband.
You'd pick up all the votes Peter would lose. Enough to swing the election.
And your price is $100,000.
You agree?
I'd be a fool not to. Of course I agree. The moment you file your divorce papers in Reno, I'll have $100,000 credited to your account wherever you specify.
No, I must have it in advance.
No, my dear Mrs. Martell.
In advance?
It's out of the question. How do I know you'll go through with it after I pay you?
And how do I know you'll pay me after I go through with it?
Don't you trust me?
Do I have to answer that?
It looks like a deadlock.
I tell you what I'll do. I'll take half now and the other half in Reno after I've filed the papers.
$50,000 tonight, eh?
It must be tonight. I'll leave in the midnight plane. Surely you have the cash available in a campaign like this.
Yes, of course I have the cash. That seems to be the only solution. It's a deal, Mrs. Martell.
You'll get the money now?
At once. Wait here. My home is just across the park. I'll be back in 5 minutes. But just as a precaution, I'm going to note down the serial numbers of the bills I give you. If you aren't in Reno tomorrow morning, I shall report the money stolen.
Don't worry, Mr. Archer. I promise you. After tonight, there won't be anything to worry about. Still waiting for me, I see, Dr. Varney.
Well, it took a long time. I was just deciding to leave.
You took care of Peter all right?
Yes, the wound opened up again. It was painful, but not as bad as it looked. He'll be up again by tomorrow.
Thank you, Doctor.
Oh, you said you wanted to talk to me.
Yes, I have a little proposition for you.
You mentioned
$50,000.
Yes. Yes, I have the money in my handbag here. One, take it. Now count it.
Yes. What do you want me to do?
Doctor, have you ever murdered anyone?
What?
I said, have you ever murdered anyone?
Why, you're joking.
You'd hardly call murder a joke.
What are you suggesting?
You are Stephen Archer's physician. You stop at his home every night and check his heart. And you give him a sedative.
No. I'm going out of this house, Mrs. Martell, and I'm never coming back.
Before you go, Doctor, I'll take that money back. $50,000, Doctor. It's a lot of money.
Yes.
I know just how deep you are in the red. $50,000 will put you on your feet again.
Well, it's...
And you'll have the friendship of the wife of the next governor.
You want me to give Archer an overdose of sedative, huh?
I knew you'd be reasonable, Varney.
Good morning, my dear. I see you're at the radio already. Aren't you up early today? I thought all the Borgias slept late.
I wanted to hear the news.
Indeed. Could it be a person by the name of George Monk that you're so anxious to hear about?
What do you mean? Why do you mention that name?
The black valise, my dear. Remember, I'm still anxious to know if it contains $17,000. Have you taken the newspaper in yet? No? Oh, I'll get it. There'll be something in this morning's paper that I'd like you to see, my dear.
Stephen Archer, candidate in the three-cornered race for governor, was found dead in his bed, apparently from an overdose of sedative. All indications point to accidental death, except for the fact that a large sum of money was missing from the safe. However, if the money was stolen, it'll do the thief no good, for the serial numbers were carefully noted down on the desk pad on Mr. Archer's desk.
What was that? Archer dead?
Yes.
Sarah, I read the signs of your fine Italian hand.
Did you have a hand in it?
Peter.
So now Archer's votes will drop in my lap, huh?
You'll be governor, Peter.
Sarah, I think I'm going to kill you.
Put that crutch down!
No, no, my dear, you needn't run away. I was just rehearsing. I'm not ready to kill you yet. Perhaps someone else will do it first. I'm going to wait for the result of my experiment.
Experiment? What do you mean?
See, here.
What? What is it, Peter?
Just an ad in the personal column. I had it inserted in every newspaper between here and Chicago.
Let me see that.
It's the first ad in the column with a display space around it. I wanted to make sure it was seen by the right person. Read it, Sarah, read it.
All right, if it makes you happy, I will read it. George, was her name Sarah? Or did she use another name? I mean the one who left with a little black valise and all the money in it. If you have at least 17,000 reasons to find her, and if the traveling isn't too difficult under the circumstances, I suggest you come to Capital City. The address is... Peter, you didn't!
Ah, isn't it cleverly worded, my dear? I had to phrase it so that only George Monk and no one else would catch its meaning.
You put this ad in all the papers?
Exactly. You see, my dear, if that little black valise did not contain $17,000, you have nothing to fear. But if it did, well, then I may be spared the chore of killing you. I'll let George do it.
Hello?
Mrs. Martell?
Who is this?
Dr. Varney.
Oh.
What did you think it was?
I thought... Never mind. What do you want, Varney?
Don't you know? I think you're pretty clever, don't you?
What do you mean?
That was Archer's own money you gave me last night, that $50,000.
Varney, are you insane? Don't you realize you're talking over an open phone?
I only realize I murdered Archer for you for nothing. That $50,000 I can't use. The serial numbers have been broadcast.
My dear Varney, I haven't the faintest notion what you're talking about.
How clever you are, Sarah Martell. How clever. And how dangerous. Yes, too dangerous to live.
The medical examiner's all through with the body, Inspector.
All right, O'Connor, all right. Then I guess we're finished, too. Tell Mike to be careful with the body. And put down in your report, dead on arrival, murdered by person or persons unknown. I'll sign it when I get downtown. She was a beautiful woman, O'Connor. It's a tough way to die.
A tough way indeed, Inspector.
How's Mr. Martell taking it?
Like a trooper, sir. Here he comes now with his doctor.
All right, O'Connor, I'll see you downtown.
Yes, sir. Goodbye, Inspector.
Are you pretty near through, Inspector?
Yes, Mr. Martell. The boys are taking the body away now. May I say, Mr. Martell, that you have my deepest sympathy in this bereavement of yours.
Thank you, Inspector. Oh, by the way, do you know Dr. Varney?
Oh, yes.
How do you do, Doctor?
How do you do? A ghastly business, Inspector.
Yes, indeed, and we'll do everything in our power to lay that murderer by the heels.
Inspector.
Yes, Dr. Varney?
Have you any clues, anything definite to go on?
Well, if you don't mind my talking about it now, Mr. Martell.
Oh, it's all right, Inspector. I'm afraid I'm going to have to listen to a good deal of talking about it. Might as well get used to it.
A very wise and courageous way to look at it, Mr. Martell. Well, as I was saying, I believe it was a maniac. That's my firm conviction.
A maniac?
Right. Who but a maniac would have stayed in there to torment that poor dead body? Can you imagine a sane man first choking her to death with his hands, then stabbing her with some keen instrument, then bashing her head in with a blunt instrument?
Well, Varney, that was quite an ordeal.
It was terrible.
Varney.
Yes?
You hated her very much, didn't you?
No more than you did, Mr. Martell.
I won't deny it. It's true.
You haven't been using your crutch this morning.
No? What made you think of the crutch?
Oh, nothing, nothing.
A blunt instrument, huh? That's all right, Varney. I don't mind your asking. I was thinking along the same lines myself, only it was the keen instrument I had in mind, say a scalpel.
Now look here.
Skip it, Varney. I was just making conversation.
Oh. You know, there's something I don't understand.
Yes, Varney?
Yes? Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing.
Uh-huh, I know what you want to ask. You want to know who was the third man.
Well,
I'll show you, Varney. Where are my keys? Here.
What do you got in that closet?
A guest, Varney. Shall I say, an invited guest? You can come out now, George. The coast is clear.
Oh, thought you meant to bury me alive in there.
Tell, who's this man?
Dr. Varney, George Monk. Shake hands, gentlemen. No? Very well. I thought it would be right for all three of us to be together for a moment.
What are you talking about, Martell?
Listen carefully, Varney, and you, George. Each one of us was in her room last night. The cumulative effect of our individual deeds has convinced the inspector that a maniac murdered my wife. But we three know better. However, there is one of us who knows more than the other two. One of us killed her first. I say first because the other two were not one whit less murderers for the fact that she was already dead.
The three of us. We all did it.
Yes, George. And I suppose that by checking each other and comparing notes, we could determine to the satisfaction of all of us just who took precedence. For instance, when I heard you move about in the closet this morning and turn the key on you, I had no way of telling how long you'd been in the house. And I don't want to know.
Then two of us will always be in doubt.
Exactly, Varney. Do you agree to it?
Yes.
And you, George?
Yes.
Then, goodbye, gentlemen.
Roma Wines have brought you Lucille Ball, a star of A Shroud for Sarah. Tonight's study in Suspense.
This is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines, the sponsor of Suspense. When unexpected guests make a mealtime call, well, anything can happen. Famed hostess Elsa Maxwell makes this timely suggestion. Invite them to stay for potluck and make the dinner exciting by serving Roma California Burgundy. For no matter what the dish, the fruity fragrance and piquant taste of robust red Roma Burgundy makes the food so much more enjoyable, adds friendliness to the table talk. That's right. Glassfuls of good Roma Burgundy, served cool, makes any simple meal more exciting, more delicious. But don't wait for unexpected guests. Try Roma Burgundy with dinner tomorrow. You'll enjoy this vintner's masterpiece. Like all Roma wines, this is wine at its best in uniform quality, yet costs only pennies a glass. Always insist on Roma wines. No other wine offers you so much for so little.
Next Thursday, you will hear Ronald Coleman in Suspense, radio's outstanding theater thrill.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. There is an immediate need in most hospitals for auxiliary non-nursing personnel. Approximately 90,000 men and women must be recruited if hospitals are to provide patients with even minimum services. The present critical lack of hospital workers of all kinds is substantially reducing the amount of nursing care per patient because nurses must spend so much of their time on non-professional tasks. Although the need varies in different sections of the country, there is an overall need for orderlies, laundrymen, chefs, electricians, plumbers, janitors, and so forth. Men and women, both skilled and unskilled, who want to work in a hospital in any capacity, can now get secure, well-paid jobs with a post-war future. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean. Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Slate, I just had a thought.
Yeah, well, let you and me keep it to yourself, huh? Till I finish totaling up the hotel expenses for the day.
Sure. How can a man think about two things at once when he's pitting his brain against an adding machine?
Well, this one's shifty. I've got to watch it.
You and your army surplus bargains. What's it doing to you this time?
Look at that. Look at that total.
$49,685 for a day's expenses? That's what I always say about you, Slate. You've sure got a head on your shoulders.
Yeah, well, that was just a trial run. I'm going to have at it once more. What did you pay for the cake you bought for that dinner party?
I told you, 10 pesos.
You could have got it for 6 at Senora Sanchez's delicatessen.
The last time I was there, Senora Sanchez made me help her fold strudel.
Now, look, sailor. One of the reasons I went into the hotel business was so that at the end of a day's work, I could cuddle up with a clear buck. To save 4 pesos, you could have folded a strudel or two.
Mr. Slate, there are 2 men here who...
Don't bother to tell him, boy. We'll work it out together. Him and me and Rhino here.
Yeah, together. And the lady, too. All right, then it'll be a party.
All we need is one more guest. Matt Wallace. Invite him, Slate. It won't be fun without him.
Matt Wallace? Well, I haven't seen Matt in... Oh, see, it must be 10-12 years in Dallas. We were working the oil fields together. Dreamed we'd strike it one day. You're telling me Matt's here in Havana? I'd like to see him.
You will, Slate. Honest, you will. Rhino and me's got a feeling he's going to come here and throw his arms around his old buddy. We want to be here to watch.
Yeah, we got a feeling we want to watch.
We'll let you know when Matt comes, if he comes. Goodbye, boys. Sorry to break up the party.
She said goodbye. The lady said goodbye.
King!
Yes, Mr. Slate. I escort them out for you. Come on, you two.
Rhino, the boy wants to play. Play with him, Rhino.
I like you, Ray. You're good to me. Let's play, boy.
You did the wrong thing, Mr. Adams.
This is a nice party. Games and everything.
Slate, get him off King. You...
No, Slate. My gun might bite you. Let the boys have their fun till Matt comes, huh?
Yeah. I hope he don't come for a long time, Ray. For a long time.
Ray, is that you? I'm in the kitchen.
Well, how did... Oh, Matt. You came back.
I won't ask you anything about Ray.
What do you want?
You're my wife, Vi. I want you to listen to me.
About what?
Let's give Shannon all of it, Vi.
Oh, you're crazy.
Listen, Vi, we don't need a deed. The oil strike to Shannon. Get out of here. Go someplace. There's a million places, Vi. I'll show them all to you. We haven't given ourselves a chance, you see.
Just tell me a thing, will you? What's Slate Shannon got to do with you?
12 years ago, we gave each other a promise.
You're crazy, Matt. You really are. The man I took for a husband is out of his mind.
You don't know Shannon. He'd have done the same for me.
He'd strike oil and give you half for a 12-year-old promise?
Shannon would.
Oh, if you'd only tell me where, Matt. Just tell me where you made the strike so I'll know. In case
In case anything happens to me? Forget it.
I try to all the time. I can't sleep worrying about something might happen to you.
Oh, Vi, listen to me. Just listen.
You'd better get out of here, husband.
All right. To Shannon. Like I said I would.
I hope you make it, husband.
I I told you once, Rhino. Don't make me tell you again. Leave the boy's guitar alone.
Oh, Ray, I gotta keep doing something with my hands. You know that. Just waiting around makes me itchy.
Don't pout, Rhino. Maybe he'll find you someone else to beat up, to fill in the gap, till Matt Wallace gets here.
You'd do that for your boy, wouldn't you, Ray? Toss him a bone like that?
Any time he cries for it, you'll remember, huh?
How can he forget? You always referee Rhino's matches with a gun, Ray? In some crazy places, that could be called no contest.
My boy's fast, but sometimes he's outweighed. The gun evens it up. I have to take care of my boy.
King could take him in a round, couldn't you, King?
He's strong, Mr. Slit. It might take longer than that.
You're a smart boy. Rhino cut you to pieces. People, Rhino is smart enough that way. Still, I'd like to match you two for real sometimes. But some other time. Well, look who's here. Hello, Matt. You kept us waiting.
Slate. It's been 12 years. I counted them.
Me too, Matt.
Meet your reception committee, Matt. Ray and Rhino. Funny songs, witty sayings.
Ray? I've heard that name. A little while ago, my wife called me Ray.
A woman gets confused sometimes. Ray, Matt, close enough. This won't take long, Matt. What we've been waiting for. Just tell me where you made the oil strike, and we can part friends.
You made a strike, Matt? You come to tell me that?
Yeah, kid. All those years, I finally made it. But it's just for you and me. No one else.
Hear that, Rhino? It's gone to his head. The man's oil happy.
Yeah, to his head, oil happy.
Tell us where you made it, Matt, or I'll sick Rhino on you.
Cost me too much. Cost me too many years. You'll have to
wait. Rhino!
Yeah.
Oh, sleep, slap! You fool, Rhino. You crazy, stupid fool. Why'd you shoot him? We'll never
get... You told me. You said...
Get out of here, quick.
King, help me with him.
He's alive, Lady Sailor. We get him to doctor.
Take care of him. I'm going after them.
Wait. There's a piece of paper in my pocket. Slate's have. It belongs to it. Tell him I get the doctor.
Get a police doctor, King. It's more in his line. Gone for a long time, Slate. What happened?
I lost him. How's Matt?
They took him away on a stretcher. The doctor doesn't know whether he'll live or die.
He'll live. All they have to do is give him a piece of adhesive tape and point in the direction of home.
The police were here, too. Wrote in little black books. Asked questions. Wanted to know where you were.
What'd you tell them?
I raised an eyebrow and smiled archly. The police giggled and nudged each other.
You don't know I was here when the shooting happened, huh?
No. They kept hitting each other with their elbows. I had to remind them what they came for.
Uh-huh.
Who's Matt Wallace, Slate?
Guy? I used to know him.
He gave me something for you. Here. This.
16 Avenida Charles, Havana, Cuba. I, Matt Wallace, do hereby deed to Slate Shannon.
He's giving you 50% of an oil field. I read it. What are you looking out of the window for, Slate? Slate, I'm talking to you.
Hmm? You say something?
Who's Matt Wallace? Why did he...
50%. What do you know?
What's the matter with you? Who's Matt Wallace? What's all this about?
Okay. Imagine a guy like that, Sailor.
Like what?
12 years ago, Matt and I worked the oil fields together. 12 years ago, we gave up, Matt and I. We shook hands. We told each other if we ever hit, half of it would belong to the other. Then we walked away. What do you know? Matt remembered. An oil strike.
Hey, where are you going? What do you want?
I'm a friend of Matt Wallace's. I thought...
How'd you find me?
Well, this address was scribbled on a piece of paper Matt gave me. I didn't know you came with it. If I'd known, I'd have got here sooner.
That'd make you Slate Shannon. Come on in. You can close your eyes to how the place looks. I've been tearing it apart. The cheap way they make things nowadays, easy to tear apart.
That's how you feel about Matt. You rip open his upholstery?
I'm his wife. He hides things from me.
Like where he made his oil strike.
You see right through a girl, don't you, Slate? The things she wants, the people she wants to divvy him with.
Now, you take me. I'm not like that at all. Matt says I get half. There's a pact we made. I'm selfish. I don't want to share it with anybody.
Oh, but you will with me. For a reason I've got.
That's a good reason. Now try me with another one.
You're a lot like Matt. You have to be bled for your secrets. Ray!
Glad you joined us, Ray. I've been looking for you.
Want me to do something for you, Vi?
The man's got a tight mouth. Take him someplace and it'll loosen it for him.
Anything for you, Sugar. It'll be easy, Slate. I'll take you to Rhino. You can ride along on this gun.
Sorry, Vi. The man's got me over a barrel. Bye, Sugar.
Okay, Shannon, out of the car.
Yeah, you don't budge. Out friendly, the man says. See how nice he can do with a little help? He learns easy, Ray.
On your feet, Shannon. You're going to say where Wallace made that strike, or we're going to leave you here on the beach for the gulls.
The gulls will get you if you don't watch out. Funny. Ain't it funny, Shannon? Laugh. I said laugh.
You don't know what you're doing.
Where's the strike?
I don't know. I keep telling you.
Rhino, you remember Kansas City?
When I had the main goat? Sure, I remember.
Tell Shannon. Tell him.
Listen good, Shannon. I threw two rights. Like this. then the big one. Did you see, Ray? Just like in Kansas City.
Yeah. I'll say a word or two and I'll throw some sand in his face.
Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
Miss Sailor, she got a big suspicion. Say to King Moses, go on a mission. Find Slate Shannon wherever he be. In Barrio on beach, bring him to me. King Moses, he look all over place. Find Mr. Shannon with sand in face. Bring him home to Lady Sailor. Now his head need very fine tailor.
He's home, King Moses, but his heart's not in it. Something's happened to Slate Shannon. He's been walking up and down on that patio for an hour now.
He done that before, Lady Sailor.
He's thinking about things, remembering things. Things that happened a long time ago. I felt like I was watching a stranger. This fever for oil.
King! Hey, King!
Yes, Mr. Slate?
Hi, Slate.
Hello. King, what'd you do with my gun?
It's in the...
Don't tell him. Slate, why don't you talk to me? What's happened to you that you need a gun?
Off the arm, Sailor. Come on. Where's the gun? You going to tell me, King, or am I going to have to convince you?
Miss Sailor...
Tell him.
I'll get it, Mr. Slate. Here, the gun.
So now you own an oil strike, Slate. What are you going to do? Kill people from the sheer joy of it?
I don't know where the strike is. I can't claim it.
Why don't you ask Matt?
The hospital won't let me see him. He's unconscious. He'll probably die.
You're going to help him along with a gun?
Look, Sailor... Matt liked to talk. Somewhere in Havana, he must have dropped a word. I'm going to find out where. See you.
You were right not to call out to him, Miss Sailor. He had the look of a man to whose stopping could not be done.
He had the look of a man who ought to be banged over the head with a blunt instrument.
You will wait for him?
No. I'm going to share it with him. like the man said. See you.
You loused it, Ray. You and your ape Rhino loused it.
Be kind to us, Sugar. If Slate didn't spill after what Rhino did to him, he never will.
You should have been there to see me by. I was going good. It's just that the punk washed out on me before.
And what
I
you could... did to Matt. That was bright, too, huh? Shutting his mouth with a bullet.
I hear he's in a hospital, alive. Rhino could pry his mouth open again.
He could die, too, without making a sound.
Yeah, it's possible.
Maybe half a million in oil. A girl could buy a moon for that and all the little moons. Only she doesn't know where it is.
Maybe we know someone who does, Sugar.
Who?
The girl is known as Selah Duvall. She was alone with Matt when Slate ran after us, after we shot your husband.
You think he told her?
He must have thought he was dying. Matt tells a girl a lot of things when he's dying. Especially about a long dream that came true.
All right, get her. Talk to her.
See how easy it is when you're nice, Sugar? Let's go, Rhino. Bring your fist.
Gee, Senor Shannon, such a man as you have described was here to eat on my blue plate.
And what did he say? What did he talk about?
Senor.
You don't have to get cagey with me, Pedro. What did he tell you about the oil?
Aye, the oil. He said not too much on the salad.
I'm going to have to beat it out of you, Pedro.
Senor, you have passed where the bells are long.
Nice going, brave man. 6 more inches and Pedro will top 5 feet.
What do you want, sailor?
I'm worried about you.
Do something clever with a handkerchief. Cry in it.
Come on, Slate. You've been going to these places all night. What's it gotten you?
It's gotten me, you. Stop following me. Get out of here.
Slate, you've got to listen to me.
I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to listen to anybody. Get out of here.
All right, Slate.
Hey, you're difficult to keep up with, Miss Duvall.
Well, Ray, get away from here. It's been a bad night.
Then let's get out of it. Let's say hello to each other at my place. It's not much what we ask, Miss Duvall. Just a few pretty words out of your pretty lips.
Yeah, pretty lips.
Why, Rhino, I didn't think you cared for things like that. I thought with you it was just broken bones.
Anyone's, Miss Duvall, even yours. Isn't that so, Rhino?
Stop putting words in the man's mouth.
Even yours, Miss Duvall, just like Ray said.
Just tell us what Matt told you.
As near as I can remember, all he did was groan.
And after that, he told you where he made his oil strike.
After that, all he did was groan. Like this.
That's a good word. You pronounce it good. But Rhino can teach you to do it better.
I'm with you, kid. Sure he could. But it's all Matt told me.
Maybe it is. Maybe Slate Shannon would be a better teacher. Better than Rhino, even.
You're going to get Slate to beat me up?
Just to die for you, Miss Duvall. That's all we'll ask him to do. Just die. Right in front of you.
King Moses is happy to see you come home, Mr. Slate.
I'm tired.
And Miss Sailor, she is very tired, too?
Sailor?
Did she not come home with you?
No, isn't she home?
Maybe she still look for you.
She found me 12 times. I finally got rid of her.
Rid of Lady Sailor? This you will never do. You send her away, she will come back. If she not come back, you will go for her. No thing will change this. Not you. Nor the oil that makes a madness in you.
You don't know how it is. You're... Slate Shannon speaking. What? Yeah. Yeah, sure. Right away. That was the hospital king.
Lady Sailor, something happened?
Well, the best thing in the world has happened. Matt Wallace just regained consciousness. He wants to talk to me.
About the oil, Mr. Slate? Do not go to him.
Don't go to him. What's the matter? Have you gone crazy, too? Hi, Matt. They treating you good?
Yeah. Took a long time coming to see me here in the hospital.
They wouldn't let me in.
Said you were unconscious, said you were dying. Where is it, Matt? Where'd you make the strike? What's to laugh? We wasted the sweet part of our lives looking for oil. You found it. Half of it's mine, like we agreed. Like we made a solemn oath. I want my half, Matt.
There isn't any oil. Never was. It's a game I played with myself.
You're lying. You don't want me in on it.
You're wrong. There's a hole in Brazil. A deep, deep hole. With brine at the bottom, salty to the taste. Take it, kid. It's yours, all of it.
What are you talking about?
Did a lot for me, Slate, that empty hole in the earth. I told her I'd struck oil someplace in South America. Kept my wife loving me. I held its promise up to her nose. For that, she loved me. For that, she tried to get me killed.
Yeah, but the deed you gave Sailor, what kind of a thing was that to do to me?
I thought you'd help me, Slate. Help me keep up my little game so my wife would keep on loving me. Not Ray. Not anyone.
You look tired, kid. You better get some sleep.
Yeah. You too. Don't give it up, Slate. I'll find it. I'll still find it. You'll see.
Sure you will, Matt. Sure you will.
And it won't take 12 years this time, Slate. I got an idea. A hunch.
Have a nice visit with the sick, Mr. Shan.
Huh? Oh, yeah, Rhino. I sure did. You should have been here.
I'm polite. I wait for you outside in the hall. You're going on another visit, friendy.
You think so?
I don't think. Ray does that for me. Ray, or the gun in your back, or just my bare hands. See the hospital sign, friendy?
Says quiet.
That's how I want you should be, quiet. Let's go, friendy.
How'd you get here, Sailor?
When you threw me away, a man came up and took my arm.
I'm sorry for that.
Slate?
Yeah?
Go shove your head in a derrick.
Miss Duval says she doesn't know where the oil is either, Shannon.
Why bother her? I know.
You didn't know a little while ago.
Man gets older, he learns more.
It works this way, Shannon. You tell me where the oil strike is, you and the girl here join hands and skip all the way home.
If I don't, you kill me, huh?
Both of you. You and the lady. One at a time. Rhino can do it without blood.
Yeah. Yeah, he was telling me on the way down. 20 fights, 18 knockouts. One man died.
Yeah, one man.
Where'd that happen, Rhino?
Toledo, my best fight.
I wish I could have been there watching you. I'll bet you were great.
They never forgot me in Toledo, did they, Ray?
Where's the strike, Shannon?
I wish you could have seen the newspaper clippings.
Yeah, me too.
You're going to say where, Shannon?
They talked about it, wrote about it, took my picture with a movie actress. They called her a starlet. I was great in Toledo.
Show me what happened in Toledo.
Huh?
Shannon, what are you building?
Come on, Rhino, show me a great fighter like you. Show me on Ray so I can see what happened.
Huh?
Take him, Rhino. Take Ray like you did with that guy in Toledo so I can see what you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're crazy. You're punch-drunk crazy man. Stay away from me.
I just want to show him, Ray. It was like this. The old corkscrew.
The maniac. Keep away.
Then the one toe.
The Rhino.
Then downstairs. In the ask. That's how I was. And the later. The other guy laying on the deck. But the other guy didn't even get to me. Not like this. Not.
You're such a smart man, Slate. You open your mouth and people drop like flies.
I'm not done yet. There's another one, a woman.
Vi Wallace? What are you going to do to her?
Just mention her name to the police. Go on home, Sailor.
You told me that before. Look what happened.
I told you I was sorry. You can stay if you believe me.
I believe you. You're sure it's all over, Slate? The oil, the fever for it.
Who needs oil? I've got everything I need.
Like what?
A hotel, a boat, a friend, King Moses.
What else?
You.
That's my old slate. See what it gets you?
Yeah, sure. What'd you say, sailor?
You've got a faraway look in your eye.
They're wildcatting oil in Brazil. I read about it.
You going to Brazil? Goodbye.
How can I go when I've got you around my neck?
No, you haven't.
Give me your arms. Now I have.
Better than wildcatting.
I don't know. I never kissed a wildcat.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest bold venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
That's it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. You can find more from Bold Venture, Suspense, past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, thousands of other old-time radio episodes to listen to, all at relicradio.com. It's all provided for free, thanks to your support. If you'd like to help out, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on the donate link on the website. You make it all possible. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.